Mandavya-sapad-bhagavan
Prajasangyamano-yamaha
Bhratukshetre-bhajasyayam Jata-satyapati-sutat Mandavya, the great Rishi Mandavya Muni, Sapat, by his curse, Bhagavan,
the greatly powerful,
Praja,
one who was born,
Kangyamana,
controller of death,
Yama,
known as Yamaraj.
Bratu,
of the brother,
Kshetre,
and the wife.
Bhujishyayam,
kept.
Jata,
born.
Satyavati,
Satyavati,
the mother of both Vichitavirya
and Vyasadeva.
Sutat,
by the son,
Vyasadeva.
Translation and purport by
Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada
ki.
I know that you are now
Vidura
due to the cursing
of Mandavya
Muni,
and that
formerly you were
King
Yamaraj,
the great
controller
of living
entities after
their death.
You were begotten
by the son
of Satyavati,
Vyasadeva,
and the kept wife
of his brother.
Purport.
Mandavya Muni
was a great sage,
and
Vidura
was formerly
the controller
of Yamaraj,
who takes
charge of the
living entities after
death.
Birth,
maintenance, and
death
are three
conditional
states of
the living entities
who are within
the material world.
As the
appointed controller
after death,
Yamaraj once
tried
Mandavya
Muni
for his
childhood
profligacy,
and
ordered him to
be pierced
with a lance.
Mandavya,
being angry at
Yamaraj
for awarding him
undue
punishment,
cursed him
to become a Sudra,
member
of the less intelligent
labor class.
Thus
Yamaraj
took birth in
the womb
of the kept
wife of
Vichitavirya
from the semen
of Vichitavirya's
brother
Vyasadeva.
Vyasadeva
is the son of
Satyavati
by the
great King
Shantanu,
the father
of Bhishma Dev.
This
mysterious history
of Vidura
was known to
Maitreya
Muni because
he happened
to be a contemporary
friend
of Vyasadeva's.
In spite
of Vidura's
birth
from the womb
of a kept wife,
because he had otherwise
high parentage
and great connection,
he inherited
the highest
talent
of becoming a
great devotee
of the Lord.
To take
birth in such a
great family
is understood
to be an
advantage
for
attaining devotional
life.
Vidura
was given this
chance
due to
his previous
greatness.
Om
jnana tamarandasya
giranjana
salakaya
chakshur malitam
jena
tasmai
shri gurave
namam
kum kruta
vachalam
pangun lakaya
tegri
yat
kripa taraham
vande
shri gurum
Vancha
kalpa tu
yusya
kripa
sandhu
yevcha
paditanam
bhavane
vyavaisthade
yo namo
jaya
shri krishna
chaitanya
prabhu nityananda
shri advaita gadadhara
shri vasudeva gaur
hare
krishna
hare
krishna
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 hare
hare
interesting
pastime
of
Yamaraj
being cursed
by
Mandavya
Muni.
Although
Yamaraj
is such a
great devotee,
he's one of the
great authorities.
Swayambhu
Narada Sambhu,
Kumara Kapila,
Pallara
Janaka,
Balaya
Vyasakira.
There's
12
great authorities.
He was one of them.
But
even
and being
in a position
of being one of the
greatest devotees,
He offended this Mandavya Muni. And the reason that Mandavya Muni cursed him was because when he committed this offense of piercing an insect, he was 8 years old. So he thought this was just a boy, innocent boy. I shouldn't be responsible for this. So this was the reason. And from that time on, he made a statement that those who are under the age, I believe 8 years old, they're not responsible for their actions. So, kind of interesting. So, we have to be very careful about how we deal with others. This is because of our conditioned state, it's very easy to offend others. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya, in his Shastrika, said, Tanadapi Sinichina, Dororapi Sisna, Amarina Marinina Kirtaniya Sadahari. If we think we're ourselves very insignificant, small, then there's no room for offending others. But if we're thinking that we're a big devotee, then it's then we can become proud and offend others very easily. So it's so important. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj said this verse should be worn around one's neck, strung by the holy name. So important, yeah, that we have humility, that we not offend others. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami, and he described the symptoms of someone who has began to advance in Krishna consciousness. Kshantiya Vyartha Kalatvam Viraktiya Manasvita Asabhanda Samudhya Namagani Sadat Asakti Sthakinati Vasilesa. And the first one is forgiving. So it's so important, and actually, although Mandavya Muni was upset, actually the higher thing for him to have done was to forgive. This is one of the great qualities of a Brahmana, is this forgiveness. We take offense. If we take offense, and this is, we're thinking that we're, you know, doesn't he know who I am? How could he speak to me like that? Yeah. So we can be offended if we're thinking that we're something, but if we're thinking that we're insignificant, then you know, who can offend me? I'm nothing. You know, I'm insignificant. Yeah. So humility is it's so important. Forgiving. Kshantya Vyartha Kalatvam, to not waste time. Time is so valuable. Chanaka Risi says that you cannot buy back one moment of time. With so much wealth, you cannot buy back one moment. It's so valuable. But now people are wasting so much time. What are the people wasting most time on now? Anybody? Take a guess. Facebook. Yes, big waste of time. And even devotees, they get entangled. Therefore, it's called the web. The net. Very appropriately called. Yeah. Parma was inspiring them with that. It's a terrible mess. Just like you see these, you know, these spiders, they make these webs so perfectly. Any insect gets caught in there, they try to escape, and they just get more and more caught in. They can't escape. So it's very dangerous, the web. In Los Angeles, not long ago, there was one of the leaders of the LA temple. He got caught into it. spending like 8 hours a day on the internet, Facebook and Twitter and this and that, and now he's gone. So it's very dangerous. Of course, we can use it in the service of Krishna. We can preach with it, and we could, you know, it's like I have my book distribution website, and many devotees go on there and they get inspired. Book distribution, so certainly it can be used. And we have this desire tree, the Kapha Vriksha tree from Chapati. You could spend the rest of your life in there and become extremely Krishna conscious. But be careful. Be careful. I remember when I joined, if you had like a little tape player, I mean, that was like a huge opulence, you know, to have a little tape player. And you couldn't have it if you were a bhakta. There's like no question. If you were a bhakta having a tape player, you know, a little cassette player. Now all the bhaktas have, you know, cell phones and computers and, you know, iPads. So be careful. We have to be very careful. There's a lot of maya. The whole world of maya is right there. In the internet. So we have to be very careful. Yeah, we have to know what to do, what, you know, buttons to push and what buttons not to push. Yeah. Pushing the wrong buttons can throw you completely into maya. So we don't want to waste time. It's so valuable. You know, so we should. Actually, I also became, I was a victim of Facebook. I would, you know, maybe a half hour or so, a day or so. But even that, I thought, this is a waste of time. So I just stopped. Yeah. And I would go on the news, but even the news is like, what a waste of time. It's all bad news. Yeah. It's all bad news, isn't it? You go on the news, it's all bad. It's useless. You want to read the news? Read Srimad Bhagavatam. Good news. This is the good news, you know, of the morning, the morning good news, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita. So many nice books that we have. So if we have some time, better read these books. Because these leave, you know, all this stuff in the internet leaves impressions, some scars in the mind. You know. You go on Facebook and they have on the side, they have these advertising, you know, sex advertising. You're trying to avoid that. Sometimes people, devotees don't avoid it. They, oh, check that out. You know. So, very dangerous. Kali Yuga, it's already difficult enough. So difficult in this age to advance in spiritual life. So don't make it more difficult by allowing your consciousness to go into this, things which are not conducive for our advancement in spiritual life. I was listening to a lecture recently. Prabhupada said that we should read between 2 and 3 hours a day. So if you're finished reading 2 hours a day of Prabhupada's books, okay, then you can maybe, you know check out the computer or something. But this is what's most important, is reading Prabhupada's books. We're distributing books. We have to also read the books. Prabhupada said that if you distribute books, you'll be happy. And if you read the books, you'll stay devotee. So we have to read the books and distribute the books. And this is good for them, and it's good for us. It's so important. I was speaking to one devotee yesterday. In many temples, they create the culture of book distribution. It's like in Los Angeles, every morning we say a prayer to the deities. Please send us more Sankirtan devotees so we can distribute books throughout America. And Krishna reciprocates. So many devotees come and we get them involved in book distribution. And it's a nice service. Nice way to utilize our time. Prabhupada's books and distributing books. Actually, Prabhupada one time he said we should only have one motto in our Krishna consciousness movement. Read and distribute books. He said that should be our only motto. Read and distribute books. Because people don't know what to do. They don't know what not to do. Just like we didn't know what we should do. We didn't know what we shouldn't do. But then we got these books, and oh, now we know. This is what I shouldn't do, this is what I should do. The do's and the do-nots. So we're very fortunate we have this guidance that's given to us by Krishna. And this will actually guide us back to the spiritual world. If we're serious. I was just thinking about this the other day that we're conditioned souls. Right? We're trying to become purified. We're conditioned souls. The intelligence is polluted. The mind's a rascal. So what is it that pushes us on? Mind starts saying something, don't go over there. We have to preach to the mind, so don't go over there. Go over here. So what is that? We're conditioned souls. We have impure intelligence, impure mind. But there's something that's pushing us forward in Krishna consciousness. What is that? We're so impure, but still there's something that's still guiding us, pushing us. Stay in the right path. Don't go off. So I was thinking that we have this, we're conditioned souls, but there's a part of us. There's a part of the soul. There's a part of us that wants to be pure. And that's what's pushing us forward. There's a big part of us that's impure, that still wants to enjoy this world and be a rascal. But there's a part of us that knows that the goal is to be pure. And this is what's pushing us forward. So we want to increase that purity. There's a little purity there. That's why we're hanging in there. We want to continue. So we want to increase that purity. And the best way to increase that purity is to just stay focused on Krishna. I'll tell you an interesting pastime, Prabhupada. We have these Prabhupada memories. You get them here? One latest one came out, this lady, Ananga Manjari. She's joined in 1970. So she was in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had given a class and asked her a question. And she asked Prabhupada, I want to advance in Krishna consciousness, but there's so many obstacles. And then Prabhupada said, yes, you continue hearing, you continue chanting, and you'll get purified. And she said, I understand that, Prabhupada, but what is it, all this contamination? I'm trying to get pure, but I'm still these obstacles. They're there so much. Why is that? He gave a nice example. He said, just like there's these birds, I forgot what they're called. They only accept rain from the cloud. They don't take water from any other source, only from the cloud. Anybody remember the name of the bird? Huh? Chataka? Chataka. Okay, yeah. So he said, it's just like that. We have to be absorbed in Krishna, only allowing Krishna in our mind and in our heart. Only Krishna. But sometimes even the Chataka bird, they're trying to get that water from the rain, there's thunder, boo, there's some thunder. So they get a little, you know, frightened, a little bewildered. There's some thunder. So he said, so you're trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. You try your best to hear and chant and advance, and sometimes there'll be some thunder. You know, and there'll be some difficulty there, but you just continue on. The thunder is temporary. The thunder is temporary. The difficulty is temporary. You just keep going. You keep going. You keep trying. Try your best. There's one saying I heard recently. You try your best. You hope for the best. Krishna, he'll do the rest. So we just have to try. Try our best. And hope for the best. Krishna, he's independent. He doesn't have to do anything. But Krishna is also very kind. So he gives his mercy. To whom? Tesam sarityuktanam bhajitam pritipurvakam dadami bhuti yogantam yenam yantate. He says, to those who are constantly devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is what Krishna is looking for. This is what we have to pray for. We can clean so many things. You know, we can clean our clothes, we can clean our body, we can clean our room. But to clean the soul, oh, that's difficult. Only Krishna can do that. And he does a lot of amazing things. He can even cleanse our heart, even though there's so much dirt. He can do anything. He's the master of mystics. He can even, in a very mystical way, purify our hearts. But he wants to see, and this is actually what you want. So that's why he's looking for that constant devotion. And it's actually, this is our natural existence, is to be constantly engaged in the service of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prima Sadyukavana Shravanadi Sudhichiti Kuri. This love for Krishna, it's there in the heart. And it comes out by this hearing, by this chanting. Just like in wood, there's fire. It comes from the sun. It just has to be lit. And then the fire comes out. So what we're doing when we're hearing and we're chanting, we're striking this love for Krishna. And eventually it'll come out. We just have to keep on striking. Keep on trying. And this process is so nice that even though we haven't achieved the goal, still it's so nice. Prabhupada was speaking about this one time. He said, even if we're wrong, even if we're all, you know, the philosophy, everything's wrong, still we're living a nice life. Isn't it? I mean, who gets up in the morning and dances at 4:30 in the morning? What a nice way to start the day. Singing and dancing. What, I mean, who gets up and sings and dances in the morning and meditating? What a great way to start the day. Nice life. Of course, we're not wrong. It's right. But he made a point there. That what a nice name. Then we hear some philosophy, some nice philosophy. We take Krishna prasadam, we do some seva. What a nice life. In the same tone, he said, we have this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. If somebody can present a better philosophy, we'll take it. Give us something better. Anything. But what's better? Matha paratram nanya kinchidasti jana. Krishna says, there's no truth superior to me. Everything is resting on me. That's pearls of strong, that's right. So there's nothing higher than Krishna. So we're so fortunate. But at the same time, we can be very unfortunate because we're on this royal road, but still we're looking in the wrong direction. So in this sense, sometimes we can be unfortunate. We're so fortunate we're on this path, this royal, wonderful path. Don't allow your yourself to be unfortunate and go in the wrong direction again. So this is why it's so important that we continually hear and chant. And this will keep this path back to Krishna very clear. It's like there's an example given of in India there's two villages and there's family members in each village and they're going back and forth. There's a path there because there's family members. But then at one point they all move to one village and they don't use that path anymore. And it gets covered by grass. It was the beaten path, but then it gets covered because it's not being used. So this is the bhakti marg path. It's the path of bhakti. So we're hearing and chanting nicely. And this is keeping, it's a beaten path. It's a clear path back to Krishna. But if we start, getting involved in other things, we forget the importance of hearing and chanting, then it can get covered by weeds. And then eventually, no more path. So many devotees have come and left. The path gets covered over by weeds. Yeah. So we want to keep this very, very clean, this path, this bhakti path, very clean back to Krishna. And that's by this hearing and chanting. So, kshantir vyardhakala viraktir means detachment. By this hearing and chanting and engaging devotional service, eventually we become detached. Of course, we have to be attached to something. We can't be dead stones. So we're trying to transfer our attachment from temporary, useless things to Krishna, to eternal things. To service, to pure devotional service. So these are some of the symptoms of someone who's desiring to become a pure devotee. Last night we were speaking about this program. Arjuna asked, what are the symptoms of someone who's began to engage Krishna consciousness? Prajahati dakam sarvam partham anandya vanatasta stita prajahati. When he gives up all these desires, which is just a mental concoction, and who finds satisfaction in the self alone, he's transcended the material nature. So this is a symptom. He's given up. Become detached from illusion, from material desires. So this is a symptom that he's detached from material existence. So therefore you won't see a devotee, going into the movie theaters or going into a pub or doing material things. You won't see him watching TV. These are all useless things. The symptom is detachment. Just like there's a symptom. There's symptoms of a person that's very wealthy. They'll generally have a big house, nice car, nice clothes. There's symptoms of a person who's poor. They don't have a nice place to stay, their clothes are not nice. Symptoms of a person that's knowledgeable. But the main symptom, actually, of a devotee is his speech. His speech. He'll repeat what Krishna has said. Austerities of speech. Anudvegyam karam bhaktam satyam priyam itamcha svabhyam yasnam chaiva vanmayam tapo uchite. There's five austerities of speech. To speak that which will not agitate others, which will not disturb others. Sometimes a devotee might do something that's disturbing to us and they want to say something, to retaliate, get back at them. But a devotee, no, he'll control his speech. He won't say anything that will make the situation even worse. Tolerate. Satyam, he'll speak the truth. And of course, the truth is in the Vedas. He'll only speak the truth. Priyam, he'll speak that which is pleasing. Hitangchya, that which is beneficial. And Svabhyamyasanam Jaiva, he'll always repeat what is in the Vedas. So these are five austerities of speech. And this is the main symptom. It's said that that a fool, a well-dressed fool, is not known until he speaks. He may look like a gentleman and knowledgeable, but he's a fool. He's not recognized until he speaks. And someone else may look like he's downtrodden and foolish. But if he's a devotee and he speaks, then, oh. Actually, he's a learned scholar. It's like so many, there's so many homeless people that we see around the world. Here also, sometimes you see there's homeless people. Probably not many. So there's, and people think, oh, these low-class people. But there's many great devotees that were homeless. Sikshu Swamis, they were homeless. But they're most learned scholars. So you can't always judge by the external. You can't judge a book by the cover. You don't know. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he told his disciples, don't go see Jagannath Das Babaji. Because you won't understand. He was on such an elevated platform of devotional service that they wouldn't understand. That otherwise, you may make offense. So again, so we have to be very careful about making offenses and trying to absorb our mind in Krishna. And this is actually the pleasure of the soul. And Prabhupada was speaking about this. I think I mentioned it yesterday that the highest pleasure in this world is sex. But it's temporary. It lasts a very short time. And it's over. He said, devotional service, the pleasure of devotional service is much higher than sex. And it never stops. That's a nice invitation there. Now, this is the highest pleasure in the material world, but it's a short time. Then there's frustration afterwards. But pure devotional service, it's the highest pleasure, and it's always increasing. So we all want pleasure. We're pleasure seekers. That's the nature of the soul. So we should shoot for the highest pleasure. Don't waste our time in this illusory, maya sukhaya, illusory pleasure. And we want others to also know about this highest pleasure of serving Krishna. So that's why Prabhupada emphasized so much this book distribution, to let people know that there's something much higher than the so-called pleasures of this world. On that note, is there any question? So ridiculous, this whole idea. The idea is that we evolved from monkeys, but still there's monkeys and there's humans. No, actually, the most intelligent person was the first, Lord Brahma. And all his sons, the four Kumaras, Narada Muni, so intelligent. So, yeah, this is ridiculous. But it's so ingrained in people. You can't say this to people. Like, I preach to university students a lot. And this is like, they call it the theory of evolution. But as far as they're concerned, it's not a theory. It's a fact. And if they find that someone doesn't believe in the evolution theory, they're like, are you nuts? Are you serious? You don't believe in the evolution theory? But it's interesting that although it's so ingrained in them, it's so solid, still it's called a theory, the evolution theory. So we have to let them know what the facts are, you know, that we've all come from Krishna. And the most intelligent being, Lord Ma, and so many other intelligent, and we're actually degrading. They think that we're becoming more advanced, actually we're becoming more degraded. Anything else? Yes.
I was just wondering if you could tell us the importance of prayer.
Prayer. Very important. I have one friend, maybe many of you know, Amala Bhakta. He has his tapes all over the world. And I was just speaking to him the other day, and he said, I chant my 16 rounds, a couple hours, and they also pray for a couple hours. He's praise to Krishna. Please help me to understand who you are. Help me to understand my spiritual nature. And just goes on and on, just praying. Just keeps, different things come up, he's praying. And actually, prayer is the main thing about book distribution. It's all about prayer. We have to pray very sincerely. And you see amazing things happen on book distribution. Just like a few days ago, I was distributing books at a university. And I had to leave a little early because I was starting my trip to come here. So I try to do 20 Bhagavad Gitas, big Bhagavad Gitas, when I go out. So I had done 15 and I had 5 left, 5 minutes before I had to leave. So I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to do my 20 Gitas today. And then 4 people came by. I have this flyer. Here you go. Gets them to the table. Small little trick to get them to the table. Then I tell them about the Bhagavad Gita. I show them the Bhagavad Gita and they're all completely into it. And they all took Bhagavad Gitas, gave nice donations. I had one left. So I think, wow, Krishna, that was amazing. 4 Bhagavad Gitas right there, one shot. That's rare. That's very rare. One left. So one Japanese person comes by. Shown in the book. And his English is very broken. He doesn't understand very well, although he's at the university. He's learning English. So I tell him, we asked for a donation for the book. He says, donation? Yeah, yeah. Kifu. Kifu onegai shimashu. Kifu. Oh, kifu. Okay. And he's looking at it, he's kind of going back and forth. Oh, I don't know. No, that was a good book. Learn a lot. It'll help you learn your English also. It's good. Good book. Yeah, all right, I'll try it. He said, how much? Yeah, skoshi kifu. Give it again. Small donation. So then, all right. He gave $20 for the Gita. And before that, I was also thinking, because usually people give a nice donation for the Bhagavad Gita, but nobody had given 20 the whole day. And then I think, well, usually Krishna, someone gives 20. So he gave 20, he also took the last book. And I don't like to look at my watch when I distribute books or cloud. I just like to really focus on it. Because then you start looking at the time and you start thinking, well, I never look at the time. So I set an alarm. So just as the alarm went off, he was walking away with the Bhagavad Gita. And I was just thinking, boy, Krishna, that's amazing. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, he's the master of all mystics. So book distribution is very mystical. You really get an appreciation of Krishna on book distribution. Setting goals is good. Set a goal and you see Krishna fulfill your goal. So nice. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental book distribution ki jai.